Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Evangelist Felipe Redlas. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message. Without any further ado, let's receive Evangelist Felipe Redlas by saying, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. Come on, let's give Jesus a round of applause. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Yes, He is. God is so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's just an honor to be here with all of you today. And what a blessing. And I was just so glad that Pastor Fee had asked me to come on over. I felt it. He just did it by faith. He just announced that I was coming. He stepped out on faith, announced it to everybody, sent out an email to everybody. I said, man, what an act of faith there. So I messed with him a little bit. I said, man, I'm preaching in Arizona. They're flying me out. He goes, what, preacher? But God had already put it in my heart also, to come. And I was even going to check with Pastor Fee and say, Fee, I'm available if you want me to come in. But he had already announced it. We already talked about it, so in Jesus' name, I'm here. And it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. I saints of God, I already had, I guess I'm not going to move it. That's okay. It's okay. I already had a message and that I was going to preach on even before I was around. I said, well, this is the message that God has for the church right now. And it is a message, another message that God gave me, just a powerful message and just revelation what God gave me in that message. And I was going to, I was going to preach it here. And then the Lord changed it up on me. How many of you are here for the first time? All right. God bless you, son. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. And amen. So God had tailored this message not only for everyone that's here, but for the visitors. You're here. God changed this message for you. Especially you that are here today. You're bringing a different dynamic and a different message because God wants to speak to you. Because I believe we're in the last days. Yes. Revelation talks about the Euphrates River drying up, and it's drying up. This huge river that runs and serves and feeds, and it's drying up. The gospel, the word of God is coming to pass. And it says when it dries up, when it completely dries up, there's going to be four demonic forces, four demons being released to kill a third of the world. And we see the heifers, the red heifers. I know Pastor Fee is right on and all that stuff, keeping everyone informed. But the, all right, come on, Brother Andrew, he needs it a little closer for me, so go ahead, please get that a little closer for me. So I know the, red heifers, pure red heifers, red cows, if you want to put it that way, hasn't showed up in 2,000-3,000 years. 2,000-3,000 years. And they're showing up now. And last time I was in Israel, they already started making the building and working on the third temple. I saw the candlestick. They're supposed to go into the temple. So all of these things are coming to pass. And what are we hearing and what are people fearing right now here in San Diego and around the world? You know what a lot of people are fearing? What? War. War. And that's biblical. It says war and rumors of war. And that's what we're hearing. And a lot of people are scared. But to the church should not fear. Why? Because the Word of God says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Go ahead, clap your hands to the Lord. That's right. That's right. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if you're a Christian and you're fearing, then you need to claim these words of promise to yourself and believe and trust God that He's not going to leave you behind. We can't be fearful. The church cannot be fearful. It's actually against the Word. It's against the Word of God to be fearful. And if we do fear anything, fear death, fear cancer, huh? If we fear anything, a violent act against us, we are supposed to take the Word of God and make it a part of our mind and thinking and apply that Word that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I love that word because it first says power. You know, it doesn't say love. It says power. You know, so that's how you face fear, with power. Power of what? Power of the Word of God, the name of Jesus. So, amen. But I'd like to welcome a dear friend of mine, Patty. Just wave, Patty. Just wave on over there. Dear friend of mine. And Patty... Pastor Fee, I don't know if you know this, he's a Sullivan. That's Dale Sullivan's brother. And she knows Dale, right? We all went to school together, right? So she was part of the clan back then. Yes. She's a red devil. We were all red devils. You know what, back in school, I never liked to say, you know, I was going to Sweetwater. Actually, I graduated from two schools, Chula Vista High and Sweetwater. So I was a Spartan and a devil. But I never liked to say devil. I never liked to confess that. So I used to say, you know, they used to have this cheer, go, you mighty devils. Go, you mighty devils, right? There's a cheer like that we used to do in football and all that, right? Remember that? And so I used to go, 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 you mighty devil, go. Because I don't like the devil, man. Not even back then. Ay, ay, ay. So, exactly, memories. But, I'm so glad Fati is here. Her family, older brothers and sisters, were friends with my brother and my siblings too. So back then it was La Familia de San Diego. So we didn't, you know, they didn't have DJs. They had, before the DJ came, they were right around the band area too. So I was just a little boy wrapping up their chords and everything. So has anybody ever heard of La Familia de San Diego? You guys ever heard that? Yeah? Yeah, you remember them? Yeah. Yeah, they're my brothers and sisters. So, you know, that's National City, right? Anybody from OTNC here? Yeah, can anything good come out of National City? Yes, that's how, yes, just like they said in Bible times, right? Can anything good come out of Nazareth, and we know Jesus did, and that's what we say in National City. Can anything good come out of National City? Yes. Hallelujah. A lot of beautiful, wonderful people. Amen. He found us. And then OTNC, the locos. But anyhow, But amen. Thank you, Pastor Fee, for inviting me today. And saints of God, I'm expecting God to meet your need today. I really do. Something special is happening. I can feel the presence of God. I know God is going to do something. So expect your miracle right now, whatever you need from the Lord. Expect a miracle right now. Hallelujah. Now, before I begin my message, I just want everybody just to close your eyes. And you're out there in web land and internet. Everyone just close your eyes, Ron. Just close your eyes. Just trust. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. This is part of the message. Just close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and honor you today, Lord. Father, I ask you to prepare our hearts, our souls, our minds right now for your word, for your salvation, for your deliverance today, Lord, for your healing today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that every worry and every concern will leave this place right now, Lord, that you fill this place with your presence, with your love. For you love each and every one that's here today, God. And Lord, I'm expecting you to speak to each and every one today, Father. So prepare the heart, prepare the spirit, Lord. As they crucified him on that cross. Eli! Eli, lama sabachthani. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he took his last breath. And even on that cross, still he said this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isaiah 53 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Will you clap your hands to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We praise you, my God. Lord, you are altogether lovely. There was none like you, Father. We thank you for the cross. He was bruised. He was smitten of God. Rejected of God. Because he was the sin offering for our sins. You feel peace only because he took the chastisement and he took the price of our sin to the cross. His blood was shed and poured out and smitten. So your blood doesn't have to be poured out. So your soul could have a place of peace and of rest. Without Jesus dying on that cross, we could not have peace. We cannot have healing. We cannot have deliverance. We cannot have miracles. Tell me, is that miracle still happening in your life? Yep, every day. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you have ever experienced a supernatural miracle? Raise your hand. I know I have. Why? Because we are healed by his stripes. And that's what the scripture tells us. We are healed by your stripes. So whatever healing you need a mental healing. You need an emotional healing. You need a healing for your soul. You need a healing for your mind. You need a healing for your spirit. You need a healing for your body. You can have your healing because Jesus went to the cross. Hallelujah. If he didn't go to the cross, you couldn't have that peace. You couldn't have that healing. You couldn't have that miracle. That's right. If we were there, we would say, "Oh, Jesus, please stay on there. Stay there. You're taking my place. Stay there, Lord, because I don't want to go to hell." He's taking the sin offering because we were born and shaped in sin. Why did our mother and father had to spank us and tell us to do right instead of wrong? No, así se nos hace, mijo. Ahorita voy a sacar el cinto, vas a ver. Huh? Some of you got some of this and some of this and el cinto nomás el papá, señor, el cinto. Man, you acted right. Now, if you had some healthy parents, and I know some of you may not have healthy parents, they really beat you up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true. But we're living in that time. You were raised by el chamuco. But God is here to heal that too. God didn't create your parents to beat you and wound you and cause you shed and cause you shame. The chastisement, the spanking was to help you to grow and correct you, not to damage you. But many of your parents might have done that because their parents did it to them. And they were on Satan's payroll. But man, and nowadays they don't even want parents to touch the children. They can't even speak to certain things to the children. The word tells us we don't chastise our children. We don't love our children. Even God chastens us. He gives us some spankings. How many of you have been spanking by the Lord? I know I have. Oh yeah. Whoo, and I don't like it. But you know what? God has a way to spank you and love you at the same time. The mankind can't do. Yeah, he does that. He spanks you and loves you at the same time. He'll take you through some times in your life, and it's like, Lord, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Man, I felt that, God, where are you? And I was living on top of the Beverly Hills Mountains, Brentwood Mountains. Two gates to get to me and a guard. On a hill over a golf course. That's the blessings of the Lord. But at the same time, God was molding me and shaping me. That's what I mean. He could bless you one time then and spank you at the same time. But only God can do that. Man doesn't know how to do that. Here we see Jesus on the cross, and you could not recognize him. They pulled his beard, crowned him with a crown of thorns, pierced his hands, pierced with nails, and his feet pierced with nails, and his side with a spear. And his back took 39 stripes, 39 whips. And those whips had metal and glass to cut into the flesh and into the nerves, into the muscles, to cause excruciating pain. So you don't have to experience excruciating pain. This man, Jesus, God manifested the flesh, came because he loved you. And the Word of God said he loved you first while you were yet in your sin. Where you were jumping in and out of those places. I'll let you think about that for a minute. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in wrong places. Instead of going to the church, you were going to the bars. Going to that wrong neighborhood. Craziness. Filthiness. Ungodliness. But yet God, seeing your sin, came down for you. You're here because God loves you. You're here because God has drawn you. You didn't draw yourself here. God is wooing you to himself. That's right. Thank you, Lord. He's wooing you. You're here today because he wooed you here, my dear visitors. He's wooing you. He's throwing kisses to you. He is throwing flowers, roses at you. He's drawing you to himself. He wants you to know how much of a lover he is, and how much of a romantic man God he is. That no man could please like this man. No woman can please like this God. Man, my career was going awesome. My career was going great. Everything just the way I planned. They wanted me to offer me. They were signing a contract. The manager said, sign the contract, $20,000, $30,000 a week. That's what they were offering me. But then God. In a place, something like this. In a living room. Just like this. Hallelujah. He did a drive-by shooting on me. He struck me. He hit me. And they didn't even tell me how to be saved. They didn't even tell, at the Bible study, they didn't tell me how to be saved. They had a Hollywood actor in their midst. If you have someone in your midst, tell them how to be saved. It's a Bible study. But God knew. God knew my heart. God knew I was seeking after Him. God knew this filthy soul had to be saved. And the Holy Spirit just came, and I had a messed up back, couldn't carry 10, 15 pounds, walked on, hunched over. But God, that's why I believe God. That's why I'm passionate about my, when I speak and when I'm preaching, I'm always moving, and I wish I could just shove my hand down, the Jesus down in your throat. Like, open your mouth, man. Just feel it one time. And that's how I preach, because I just wish I could just try to stop messing around with God. Stop playing the game. Man, step in all the way. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be filled with God's Spirit. Just taste and see how God is so good. And His mercies are rich. And His grace is rich in your life. And there's so much joy. How could this Hollywood actor making it, climbing the ladder? And many of you know Cheech and Chong. Cheech is the one that got me into the film. He saw my picture. If this guy can cut it, this kid can cut it, he can have the role. And I'll sign him up for the union so I can play any big movies. Cheech Marin did that. How many of you know Cheech and Chong? What a day. Right? It was him. He's the one that got me into the union. But why did I leave? I wasn't smoking. I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't jumping in and out of stuff. And I'll tell you some Hollywood names, and they want me to come and party with them. In the limo. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell on you guys. You would know if I tell you. But Jesus wants to give us His Spirit. He just doesn't want you to believe in His words and what the story is saying. He wants you to experience His Spirit. He wants you to experience being born again. How many of you wish you were younger now with all the knowledge and all the wisdom? Man, don't you wish you were younger? I said, you would have done everything a lot different. Why? Because you have that knowledge. You have that wisdom. You have that insight. You have that experience. Right? So you wish you could be younger and say, oh yeah, okay, I know where the mistakes I made. Man, I'm not making those mistakes, because now that we're older, man, we're suffering from those mistakes. We're hurting because of the mistakes. Man, I was smart enough for that test. I was smarter than that person who got, but I was, oh, really, loco. Simón, ese. No, I'm not a nerd. Ese my... Messing around too much. Pastor Fee almost died because of gangs. Died. Being a cholo, being a homeboy, hanging around with the wrong people. Almost killed doing drugs in his eyes and his fingernails so they can't catch him. That's how the devil have you. And that's how we are. We're talking about hidden sin. Hidden sin in our lives. Man, you can't hide from God. Are you? Oh. Pendejo. No, I didn't say that. No. Well, where's that? Where did that come from? If you fall short of the glory of God, bring it to God to light. Psalm 51, Lord, search my heart. If there be any wicked thing in me, Lord, bring it to my attention that I can confess it. Renew a right spirit in me, a right mind, a right heart to go after you with all that I have, Lord, because I don't want to sin before you. If you bring that sin out and speak it out to God and fast against it and pray against it, fight against that sin and watch God come in and take that sacrifice you gave him. And he'll help you. He'll deliver you. We got to crucify the flesh. Huh? We got to crucify that flesh. The word of God says, pick up your cross. How many of you heard of that scripture before? Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross and what? Pick up your cross and what? Pick up your cross and follow him. That cross, he wants you to pick up, just like Simon. Jesus going up to Calvary. Simon, they got the soldiers got Simon to come and help them pick up that cross. You know, whatever you're going through, God will come and help you with that cross. Jesus will come and help you carry that cross. Hallelujah. And then sometimes Jesus will send people like Pastor Fee and Pastor Art and Brother Felipe and Sister Yolanda, Sister Tammy, Brother Angel, come and help you pick up your cross. Whew. You know, there's some weight on that cross. There's some responsibility when you carry that cross. You're showing people out there, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I'm out there, and I'm serving the Lord. I have seen God do so many miracles, saints of God. So many miracles. I've seen the cripple get up and walk, blind eyes seen. I've seen angels flying into the service. So many miracles that God has shown me and I have experienced, and how when I didn't even have any money in my bank and stuck in a place with my wife and three children, a truck and a trailer evangelizing around United States and didn't have money to put in my gas, and then everything is dark. I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart, Lord. Is there any wicked thing that I mess up somewhere, that I offend you, Lord? Why am I stuck here, Lord? I have my wife to feed and my three kids to feed, and I need to move on to the next place. I asked God to search my heart. Why did that happen to me? The God didn't reveal any sin in my life either. But you know what? God wants you to come to him anyway and trust him and build a relationship instead of, no, I got this. I got this, Jesus. Don't you worry, Jesus. I got this one. And that's some of our attitudes. Sometimes we're just too proud. Instead of God, you know, Adam, what was so beautiful with Adam and God, they walked together, and when Adam sinned, God came. And what does God say? Adam, where? Patty. Home bucket. Mrs. Home bucket. Angel, where are you? We're not at the place where we usually meet. Where are you? We need to build an altar in our own home, so you can fellowship with God. God wants that fellowship. He wants us to come together at that altar and commune and build a relationship with you. And you know what that causes? It causes some sacrifice of your time. Instead of getting up in the morning, brush the teeth, get some coffee, you forget about Jesus. Get in that car, okay, Jesus, take care of me. Don't let me get in accidents now, Lord. Everything's going on at the same time. No, wake up a little earlier. You don't have to do an hour yet, half an hour yet. 50. Do 5 minutes. You can't do 5 minutes, do 1 minute. and build a relationship with God. Get on your knees. If your knees are well, if they're not well, say, Lord, if you heal my knees, I'll get down on my knees. Just tell them that. Look, Jesus wants to be everything to you. He wants to be everything to you. He wants to be your first love. He wants to be your first love more than your fine-looking wife, your fine-looking husband. He wants to be your first love. And that love has to exceed everyone and everything. I know, I remember my battle when I was asking God for the Holy Spirit. They were telling me to let go of Hollywood, and I couldn't, it couldn't come out of my mouth. Let go acting. It couldn't come out. It's like the chamuco had a hold of it. The devil had. I was trying to, Lord, I give you my, I couldn't say it. It was a fight. It was a battle. And anything that is close to you is too close to God. If your children are just too close and no room for God, your children are just too close. God doesn't want to be a close second. He don't even want to be a close first. God wants to be high and lifted up. And when I got that, I thought I was raised. I always put God first. That's how I was raised. But in the day of my deliverance, the day of my healing, my acting was too close to first. It was too close. It was like 1A. God wants to be high and lifted up in your life. God needs to be first in your life. Hey, I died on that cross for you. I took the nails, I took the crown, I took the spear, I took the whip, and what? How much are you giving me? He shed his blood to purchase the church, to purchase. We are called, once we're baptized in the name of Jesus, and once we're filled with the Holy Spirit and overflowing with the Holy Spirit, we become the body of Christ. That's right. We become the body of Christ. And you need a body to move. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, needs a body to move. You're not catching it. You're not catching it. You are the body of Christ. Jesus wants to move through you and with you and for you. And demonstrate and show off in you. Yeah, clap your hands. Yeah, go ahead. Jesus needs his body to move through. Saints, I'm gonna share something that God has me. This last time I went to India, Lord spoke to me. He says, I want you to begin to share a certain part of your testimony that you have not been sharing. I want you to share, begin to share that with the church. Begin to share and open up about a certain place of my testimony that I really don't share with people because it would freak them out. But I was experiencing since a child demons. I would be sleeping and demons would come over. I didn't have a father at home. I just had mom. And later on, my nephew, my sister had passed away. And later on, my nephew, Abel. But for a while, for a long time, I was by myself, just mom and I. My older brothers and sisters were already married or had their significant other. And from a child until a young man, I was experiencing demonic activity in my life. They would scare me. They would come over me, and I would freeze. They call that sleep. What? Sleep paralysis. Thank you. And I would get up, turn on the light, and sleep with the light on. And then I would go and run my mom's room and open up her room and sleep with mom's bed because I was so scared. Then there came a time where my mom started locking the door and I could no longer get in there. And I guess she was just saying it's time for my son to grow up and become a man. But she didn't know I was experiencing these demons. And so I grew up, I was a young adult and still having these experiences still. If I can run in mom's room, I would. Until my best friend, Andre, he told me about the power in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, when that happens, say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And it happened to me again. I was being flown to a place in Atlanta, Georgia to do a movie. And it was a horror picture. I didn't like it, so I flew back and I had this experience. Got up real quick, turned on the light. But during that time, I lit up and I felt something leave me. Something evil leave me. And for the first time in my life, I felt some sort of peace. I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And for the first time in my life, as a young 20-year-old, mid-20-year-old, I turned off the light. Because my friend told me about the power of the name of Jesus. And now I've learned as a Christian now, if you're experiencing that, anything like that, just start shouting hallelujah to the Lord. You can just shout it in your mind. Hallelujah. God is going to come for his praise. And that devil will move. That's a little weapon for you. But this is the part that I really don't share. When I left Hollywood, there was a writer that came and tried to get me back into Hollywood. My manager tried to get me back into Hollywood. And then another director, a producer from Hollywood, is calling me, telling me to come back. And I didn't. I kept on refusing. I'm following Jesus now. So then what happened? People, saints, friends, demons came to me. Demons now. Demons are speaking. And I don't share that. But God wants me to begin to share that with everyone now. But demons began to speak to me. I mean, like I'm talking to you right now. Not in my mind. No, you heard their voice. They came. The writer couldn't do it. The director, producer, the manager couldn't do it. So Satan sent some demons from Hollywood. And the demon said, come back with us. We'll give you the money. We'll give you the women. We'll give you the cars. We'll give you the house on the hills. We'll give you whatever you want. Come back with us. Demons. Devils. Come back with us. We'll give you whatever you want. And I told the devil, I said, devil, I said, I'd rather live in a cardboard box than come back with you. It's because God came and showed himself and showed the love that he had for this sinner, this young boy, this child left alone without a father, only a mother. He came and filled that void. Money and fame couldn't do it. Women couldn't do it. Nothing could do it. Parties couldn't do it. Nothing can fill that void in your heart. But Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, when he comes into your heart, when it comes into your soul, there is no more void in your heart or soul. I've never felt that void since then. Never. My heart is overflowing from the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with God's Spirit. And the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. You're going to have a language of heaven when the Holy Spirit comes in you. And that's the sacrifice that we have to make. We have to make that sacrifice of picking up our cross and separating yourself from the world and from people who cause you to sin. Can't be lusting and looking at pornography and jumping in and out of beds and houses and cars and drugs and all that mess. You got to renew your mind in Christ and cast down every high imagination, the Bible says. It's telling you to do it. It's telling you to do it through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. And He wants to do it in your life. He wants to make you whole. God wants to use you. There's nothing like being used of God. The joy, the fullness, the completeness, the peace, everything moving. And when God changes people right in front of your face, is awesome. Who would know that this actor had a void? Everything going for him. Movies offered to him. Soap opera offered it to him. $20,000, $30,000 a week, manager said. Sign it! But nothing, no one, no devil, no director, no writer, no man, no banker can give you what Jesus Christ can give you. If you fill a void, just like when I was in the Catholic Church holding everybody's hand, they would say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'll be crying because I knew there was more to God. I knew there was more. There's something more. God, you got to show up for me. You got to do something, Jim, because I feel there has to be something more. Not just religion, but a relationship with God, an encounter with God. You got to have an encounter. God is waiting to walk with you. And you can't do it with pride. You can't be doing it with stealing, cheating, lying, stinking thinking. You can't do it. You got to nail it to the cross. When you pick up that cross, and then sometimes you're going to have to set it up and say, no, you're not stealing anymore. No, you're not cheating anymore. No, you're not going to that house anymore. Nail them feet. No, you're not thinking that way anymore. Put that crown of thorns. Renew your mind in the Word of God. You got to change your identity. You're no longer, when you're in Christ, you're no longer un pendejo. You're no longer un pendeja. You're no longer a mistake. Hallelujah. Oh, you were a mistake. We mess around that night and you're a mistake. No, you're no longer a mistake. Hallelujah. Jesus just needed a womb for you to come in. Because He loved you and chose you before the foundation of the world. I'm just quoting scripture. So that's why you have to renew your mind in Christ. He said, Moses said, who should I say sent me? I got to read that one. Come on, Jesus. And Abraham, here in Exodus 3. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is His name? Everybody say that. What is His name? Jesus Christ sent me to you. Say, what is His name? Say it again. In verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. It's the I am has sent you to you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. That's what the Word of God, I mean, they don't read that part a lot of times. That's what my name is forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations.
Now listen to what happens in Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, and any man will come after me. Oh, not that one. I'm sorry. John 8. It says, Jesus says this in 8:55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. That's what he's telling the priest. That's what he's telling the religious leaders. I said, man, if I tell you that, I'll be a liar just like you. There's a lot of religions lying to you. You hear me? There's a lot of religions lying to you. You read the scripture, you see, and then they try to change it. Oh, yeah, they're lying to you. They're lying. You better get down to the Word of God and look for it yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Search the scriptures. That's right. Then said the Jews unto him, verse 57, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, before Abraham, I am. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands to Jesus. Woo! Man, hey! Hey! Woo! Before Abraham was, I am. His name, hallelujah, has never changed. It shall be to all generations. Hallelujah. Who shall I say sent me? Tell him I am that I am has sent you. Hallelujah. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus, hallelujah, the God of yesterday. Jesus, the God of today. Jesus, the God of tomorrow and forevermore. Hallelujah. He is the great I am for you. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your lover. I am your counselor. I am your very need. I am that door. I am that way. I am that truth. I am the life to you. He is the I am in your life. I am that I am has sent me to you. Come on and clap your hands to Jesus. I am your healer of your mind. I am the healer and deliverer and the savior of your soul. I am the healer of your spirit. I am the healer of your emotion. I am that I am. And you can be born again with the I am. Because once you come to Jesus, after you have crucified yourself, that is your sacrifice. That is your repentance. Jesus went down into, hallelujah, the lower parts of the world. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah again. Hallelujah. Come on and somebody shout thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is wonderful. He is beautiful. He is excellent in all his ways. When Jesus died, hallelujah, and came back up, the Bible says in Matthew 28, suddenly there was a great earthquake. Somebody shout, great earthquake. You know, hallelujah, when there's a resurrection in your life, hallelujah, when you begin to change from the crucifixion, you begin to be transformed into the resurrection in your life, there's an earthquake in your body. There's a shaking. Shaking going on. Woo! You used to be twisting, shouting for the world. And now you're twisting, shouting for Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. There's a shaking going on in your soul. A shaking going on in your spirit. There's a shaking going on with your friends. There's a shaking going on with your family members, those who are close. When you start getting close to Jesus, there's shaking going on. There's an earthquake. How many of you experienced that? I have. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. There's an earthquake. It says, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled away the stone. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. The soldiers saw and fainted and were like dead men. I want you to understand that. The guards, the soldiers, like dead men. Now listen to this. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." He is risen. Everybody shout, "He's risen." Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. And I want you to notice this, saints of God. The woman did not faint. The soldiers saw and fainted and were like dead men. But the woman, a woman, brothers, a woman. A woman was there. Yeah, she was maybe shaking. The angels had to say, "Don't be afraid." She was still standing. She didn't go out. Can somebody tell me why? She had a relationship with Jesus. She walked with Jesus. I'm telling you, when you walk with Jesus and you come into Jesus, you won't be afraid of certain things. He will strengthen you. He'll uphold you. He will give you understanding. He'll be there for you. I know who you're looking for. Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He's risen. Just like he said. Everyone say, "Just like he said." Say that. That's right. Hallelujah. And said, "And just like what happened, come and see his body where he was laying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee." So Jesus is going ahead already. So, and then she takes off. "You will see him there. Remember, I have told you to." Remember, I have told you. The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. You see that? They were frightened and have great joy. Man, they're shaking up because, there's a lot of stuff happening. But there was great joy because he's not there. He's risen. They heard it from the angels. So, just like I told you, God works like that. Sometimes you go through that's the shaking, right? That's the earthquake happening at the same time. Joy or a correction, a spanking, but man, you living in a penthouse. And they rushed to tell the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell the brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me." So they leave and they go out. But I want to show you a revelation of something. A lot of people have never seen this before. It's in John 20:11. It says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and see the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus laid. And they say unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou?' She said unto them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.'" Verse 14, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, she didn't get it yet. She couldn't comprehend yet. She couldn't comprehend it. So she thought it was the gardener, and it was actually Jesus. "And said unto him, 'Sir, if thou have borne him hence, if you took him somewhere, tell me where thou hast laid him. Tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.'" Listen to what Mary, there's no brother there. It's Mary. Say, man, I'll pick him up. I'll take care of my Lord. I love him. I want to go to him. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. You know, Jesus knows your name. You know that Jesus knows your name. How many have ever heard Jesus call your name? Has Jesus ever called your name? Has he ever spoken to you? Ever heard that voice? It's like you know it's the Lord. Wow. I mean, it's just so full of love, power, and authority. So listen to what happens. Woman, why weepest thou? Where was I? Anybody following me? Thank you. Jesus said to Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, now what? This is where the revelation is. Watch what happens. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, don't touch me. You see that? Don't touch me. Mary came after her, seeking her, crying after Jesus, trying to find him. What have you done to my master? What have you done to my Lord? And Jesus comes and stands and calls her. He says, Mary, don't touch me. Why? For I have not yet ascended to my Father. I don't know if some of you get that. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Who else is Jesus known as? The Lamb of God. The high priest, the lamb was the offering, the sacrifice for sin. And they would take that blood, right, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, right, where the curtains, the veil was, and they had to go through the veil. And if God did not accept that priest, he didn't have the right heart, the right spirit, he would strike him dead. But if he did accept the priest and they accept the blood, then Jesus would come down like fire and accept the sacrifice. What is in heaven is done on earth. Jesus is now, that's why the earthquake came, and I didn't read that part, but to save some time, the veil ripped open because now Jesus is the high priest. And he is the Lamb. What blood was shed for us? Jesus' blood, the Lamb of God. That's why she said, Mary, don't touch me. Because if a sinner, a one who was not holy, who had sin in their past, touched Jesus, the whole thing would have been blown, contaminated, and Jesus would have to do it all over again. But Jesus loved Mary so much, he showed up, and that's why Jesus will show up for you. Come on and clap your hands. That's how much he loves us. 33 years of everything he went through, the whipping, through the beating, through the nails, the crown, the spear, the 39 stripes, the pain. But he came with that offering, the pure blood, the pure DNA, to put it before the mercy seat of heaven for us. One woman could have messed it all up for us. But because of Jesus' love for the bride, because of Jesus' love for the church, because of Jesus' love for the sinner, he showed up. He didn't have to do it. But God is showing us in Scripture how much he cares for you, how much he loves you, but you have to seek him. Yeah. And he'll show up. He wants that relationship with you. He wants that intimacy with you. He wants you to cry after him and he'll show up. Spend some time with him and he'll show up. Trust and might not, I don't feel him, I don't hear him. But keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Mary did it. And she could have blown the whole thing. And who knows if she had touched him, when would Jesus do that again? Before we died or after we died? And we would have known him. We would have not known the story of the resurrection, the story that brings us salvation. But Jesus loves you so much, church, that he would do it all over for you again. He won't, because it's only done one time, and it's done. And now he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Follow me, take up my yoke. My yoke is easy. This cross is easy compared to the cross you're carrying if you're not following Jesus. Because there are burdens you're carrying. There's something you're carrying. But when you're in Christ, it's a lot easier. And he loves you. And he wants you. He wants us to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, with everything we have, because that's how much he loves you. And that's why we have to seek him. We have to seek him for everything that he has, every gift that he has. He wants you to have it, and we have to have that gifts. We have to be born again of water, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of you might not be filled with the Holy Spirit. You never spoke in tongues. And out there you may have never spoken tongues, but you need to. Because that's the sign that God says these signs shall follow. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit is going to give us new life, new power, new authority. And you can get it right there. You don't have to belong to a religion, to a church. You can get it right where you're sitting. My wife got it in the car. My late wife got it in the car. The Holy Spirit came out and just took control of her tongue. She got the rearview mirror and said, what's going on? She sees her language coming. Another sister I know got it in the back of a motorcycle. So if you're driving in the back of a motorcycle right now, receive it. Jesus will meet you right where you are. Will you all stand, please? Hallelujah. The Word of God says, but ye, in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. You see, we're going to Jerusalem. And to all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world, when you have the Holy Spirit, will be witnesses unto the Lord throughout the nations. All right, Brother Felipe, how do we get the Holy Spirit? The Bible says in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be submerged in baptism. Baptism means baptizo, be submerged into Christ. So if anybody wants to be baptized today, you let us know. Pastor Fee will take care of that ASAP. Right, Pastor Fee? Amen. If you have not received Christ, you need to be baptized. Baptized, you can't be sprinkled on. It's you be submerged. That's the way Jesus did it. And that's the way we do it. To be born again of water and of the Spirit. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Repent of your sins. Baptism. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Will you all close your eyes right now and just repeat after me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Lord Jesus, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I do not want to be left behind. Lord, I need peace in my life. I need your presence in my life. I want to be in the I am. In you, Lord. Jesus, save my soul today. I confess that you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. So fill me, Lord, with your peace, your joy, your love. Deliver me. Save me today. And fill me with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord, will you? Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the